Okay, John Almella is the next person. Actually, I'm not. That what I said was not true. The PDs are not speaking in these reports coming because we spent time with them yesterday. John Almella. Yes, sir.
Since Pete is not here, I'm assuming this report is 20 minutes, not 40 minutes.
Correct. And Casey, if that, because John has already expressed his great love for public speaking has diminished somewhat. And we're going to give Casey Peters, the National Elections Coordinator, time. So, John, it's your show.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, John.
I'm having a little problem seeing, so I'm going to do my best, but bear with me, please. Today I'm going to talk about the KU satellite status, redundant internet-based support for the KU satellite system, and sister station HD radio implementation status. Can everybody hear me? First, the KU satellite status. Our Pacifica KU satellite channel allows us to continue to provide live content to our sister stations and affiliates. Pacifica broadcasts two separate program signals, discrete left and right channels, on a single frequency. The left channel is used for regularly scheduled programs, and the right channel is used for special programming. Additionally, KPFA sends some of their programming to KFCF on a separate frequency using the same KU uplink hardware, and KFCF broadcasts that programming. Present status of the KU satellite. KFCF recently purchased for Pacifica a new transceiver unit to replace the aging one, which was over 30,000 hours past the time it should have been replaced. Michael Yoshida was going to install the new transceiver today, but unfortunately it's raining in Berkeley, so that's been postponed until May 23rd. Pacifica's contract with Clear Channel, which is the company that owns the KU satellite, is up for renewal in September of this year. I feel that Pacifica should explore if we can sign a yearly contract rather than the normal three-year agreement. Pacifica needs to decide how and if we will continue to use this technology in the future, how we should modify the technology to meet our growing needs, or if we should transition to a different technological method of live program distribution. The receiver side hardware, which is made by Comstream using the ABR series demodulators that our sister stations and affiliates use to receive the Pacifica KU signal, has been failing at an alarming rate. Since this equipment is based on old technology and also moderately expensive, technology, Pacifica needs to make decisions about the future of the KU satellite fairly soon before our affiliates start replacing these satellite demodulators. Okay, now I'm going to talk about redundant internet-based support for the KU satellite system. Many of our affiliate stations use the KU internet streams to broadcast our live programming. Pacifica needs to provide a reliable backup system to provide redundancy for possible KU uplink, downlink, or weather-related problems, and to strengthen the reliability of their internet streams. Currently, we provide two 64 kilobit per second, 44.1 kilohertz internet streamcasts. That's both the KU and the KU right for our affiliates and sister stations. The source of these streams is generated by one of the KPFA in-house servers and comes from the output of a KU receive demodulator. This is beneficial because it allows our people in other parts of the network without satellite access to verify that the KU system is working correctly. This can be problematic if the KU system is not working correctly due to weather conditions or technical issues, the streams that our affiliates depend on will be similarly affected. A solution for this situation is as follows. Move the stream off the KPFA server and upgrade the bit rate to 128 kilobits, 44.1 kilohertz rate, which is the same file standard we use for audio port, and use hardware boxes that are inexpensive and produced by Barracks.com connected to the output of the KU routing switcher, not the output of an ABR demodulator, to source the streams on two separate, when I say separate, we're going to have different ISPs so that if one goes down, the other will work, Pacifica servers. Set up a second source of internet streams from the ABR demodulator at KPFT using the same kind of hardware boxes to generate KU left and KU right streams at 6444. And those streams will be sent to the same Pacifica servers so that if one set is not working, our affiliates or sister stations can click on those other links and access the streams. This will also be good in case there are weather conditions or like what happened a couple of weeks ago, KPFA's internet was down for 4 days. KPFT actually picked up and provided those streams for the affiliates. And I want to thank Steve Brightwell and Duane for helping out there. We can also suggest inexpensive, reliable, hardware-based internet streams receive boxes to our affiliates so that they can reliably receive these streams, assuming that their internet substructure is in good shape. This system would provide a reliable way for Pacifica to distribute their live content with redundancy at almost every point in the program chain. My next topic is about the HD radio implementation status. I'm very pleased to report that KPFK, WPFW, and WBAI each have filed their applications for the CPB HD radio matching grant on March 30th. The applications were composed by, at WPFW, Ed Bucant, who's their chief engineer. He prepared the technical report, and Sidrek Franklin provided administrative support. WPFW proposes to use the Harris split-level combiner system, and additionally, they are looking at installing a digital studio-to-transmitter link system. At WBAI, Bill Wells prepared the technical report, and Rebecca Miles was administrative support. WBAI proposed.
Is this the stuff in your written report that you're giving
us? No. WBAI proposes to use the low-level combiner system. At KPFK, Don Mussel provided the technical support needed to make the report, and Eva Georgia, the administrative support. KPFK proposes to use a separate transmitter and antenna system. KPFA decided they are not interested in applying for the CPB HD radio matching grant this year. KPFT is in the final state of implementing HD radio with just a small bit of RF work to be done to finish the job and to receive the last third of the CPB matching grant monies. They are planning to start broadcasting their main digital channel by the 1st of May. They have just filed for the PTFP, that's the Public Telecommunications Facility Program grant, so that they can upgrade to digital consoles in their studio and a digital RF-based studio-to-transmitter link. I'd like to extend congratulations and due credit to all of the people involved in this process. Additional appreciation goes to Don Mussel for providing guidance throughout this process, and to Steve Brightwell from KPFT for providing supplementary knowledge and assistance. I would also like to thank Brian Gibbons, the digital grants manager at CPB, who has been enormously communicative and helpful throughout the application process. Thank you.
So the floor is open for questions for our tech maven. Oh, yeah, Pete Karakas, who was intended to be... Well, why don't you, Greg, explain?
Pete Karakas' father is ill, and we don't know what the condition of this is right now. And I think we should... I know that I'm very concerned for him, and he could not be here today.
I assume I speak for everybody in saying that we hope for a good resolution of that. It's open for discussion questions. Sarv and then Bertolt. Sarv?
John, are you ready?
Yeah, I need somebody taller than me.
Okay, John, my question is that I think it was about a year ago when you came and you said that there was some problem with the downlink on the KU satellite, and there was some equipment that was needed, and there was some obsolete equipment that was not available, or somebody had it somewhere, they were going to get it.
And what happened there was we went and we got that out of... Actually, Delise was with us. We got that out of WPFW, and we brought it over to Michael, and Michael looked at it and said, this is going to be really difficult to implement, and because the connectors were different, and it was really kind of a different system, and because it was a fairly old system, and we couldn't really find any information about it, KFCF and Michael found the system in, I don't know where they found it actually. They found a system that was not very expensive. It was about $8,000. And it's a one-to-one replacement with what they had before. And as I said, they're gonna, when did I say that was? May
23rd.
They're gonna put that in. Okay. So that'll replace that transceiver unit that's been kind of problematic.
Okay, that's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. Bertolt and then Rob.
Hey, John.
Hi.
You mentioned that we should consider 1 year versus 2 year contracts with Clear Channel. That's the first part of my question. Why and what are the dollar implications? You also kept talking about reliable INET streams, reliable INET streams.
Yeah.
And so how unreliable are we? And, you know, what do we need to do to be more reliable, and how much money is needed? And finally, just like the finance committee talked about, you know, like having a proposal from the affiliates, from the archives committee, can you come up with a business plan for us so that we can see what is it that what at stake, what we're looking at, you know, and plus especially talking about the HD situation, we don't know what's going on. I mean, it doesn't have to be elaborate right now because I don't think you're asking for us to make a decision, but at least a business plan that tells us where we could be going or something like that.
Okay, what was the first question again? Okay. The reason that I think we should look at that is because we don't know how much longer we want to use this technology, and if we have a contract for 3 years, that locks us in. We may want to keep it for 3 years, but it would be good to have the option to dump out. Can I have this turned down a little bit because I can hear the ringing and it's really... Thank you. Your second question.
Reliable INET stream.
It's not that the streams aren't reliable. It would just be good to have more than one stream in case we have a problem at one location. The hardware stops working. There's a power outage. Let's say the internet goes down. So having multiple streams at multiple internet service providers means that we can keep the system working. I mean, if there was a total power outage at KPFA, we would probably be down because that's where the computer is that actually sets up the programming. But other than that, that would give us the reliability that we need.
Rob and then Rip.
He actually asked for a business plan. And the business plan, let me work on that and get it to the tech committee. And I'll
okay.
Yeah.
I think I speak for a number of members that would like to thank John and Pete for all of the work that you do.
Thank you.
And it's not just on technical. The committee meetings that we all take up enormous amounts of time with and spend unconscionable amounts of money on are, for the most part, staffed by John. I don't think we pay him for that. He just does it. But both you and Pete's dedication is extremely appreciated. One of the questions I have, we've heard that stations feel that they need additional resources, and many of them are for technical purposes. Are there any standards in place for Pacifica stations that deal with things like the staffing that they have, the qualifications of the staff, or the equipment setups that should be in place for any given station for existing operations or to improve? Is there anything like that that we have in place right now?
We don't have something in place. We really need to do a needs assessment, and hopefully if we can find the time to do this, it would have to be on a station basis. It would probably be myself, Nathan, to look at programming and see how that interacts with the technology, Pete to be there for the web implications of this. And it probably is going to take possibly a week or more per station to do this.
Right, I understand that. And my remarks do not suggest that you and Pete are dragging your feet or that the national office is dragging its feet. That's clearly not something that I think. However, I do want to get to a specific case in point. Some a year or several years ago, Ambrose brought up the point that one of our stations is doing their internet broadcasting with equipment that's privately owned out of a private space. Have the stations all budgeted so that those conditions don't obtain any longer?
It wasn't so much of a budget problem. It was a actual getting that to work at that station.
Has the situation changed?
No, it hasn't. And okay. Pete's still doing the streaming, and when he can't do it, I've been doing it.
Okay. So my concern is that, for example, from the standpoint of the technology committee, one of the things that we'd like to be sure is that all of our stations have the resources that they need to do this adequately, and that if those things aren't happening, we'd like to know why they're not happening, so we, the board, can't be complicit in continuing with unacceptable situations. The other thing I'd like to ask, for example, John, when stations go off the air, as happens occasionally, is there anything so that we can look at year-end, what type of interruptions that are not planned by the stations themselves, how often that occurs, for how long they occur, and what the issues are there?
That's a good point. We don't have anything in place right now, but that's something that that we should implement so we know. Usually, depending on the technology, if we're looking at transmitters that are tube transmitters, they occasionally they occasionally a tube burnout or something like that. It doesn't happen that often.
Right.
Solid-state transmitters, it won't happen as often, but it can be a number of different reasons, and we should look into that and kind of.
I'm just saying, if there was some way for us to look at that on a regular basis, we could make some decision, is it not? Because, for example, at some of our stations, we have staff that can make repairs or can schedule them. In other cases, staff can't, for example, solder things back together that they perhaps should be able to do.
That's probably something that maybe when we do our monthly meetings with the tech committee, we should be discussing and give them an when things happen that they get an update on that.
Okay, I just
want to tell people one of the things we're doing now with these board meetings is we're rotating which staff reports have expanded time. And last in Walnut Creek, we had the expanded time for the tech thing, so we don't have, we're actually at time. Rob, why don't you ask your last question? I'll go to Rip, and Eva had something to say quickly, and we'll wrap up.
We'll talk offline, John, thanks.
Rip?
Yes, John, I'm not sure if you know this, but could you tell us which of the five stations are using the KU?
They all use the KU.
They all use the KU, okay.
At different times. They'll use it for left for regular programming if they want to take something live, or they may record it and then play it later. They all use it for live specials.
And could you tell me when the KU contract was first signed? Was it for the use of the five sister stations, or was it for affiliate stations? Would you know that history?
I don't know that history.
But you could say that the five stations are using the KU band all the time. I heard you say that. Thank you very much.
And we
Ursula said it was for the sister stations.
Thank you very much.
And it was a different, it wasn't a KU band, it was a C band back then.
But now it's the, okay, thank you.
Okay, Eva, you had something quickly on the tech point?
Just quickly, a suggestion, Rob, you ask about stations going off the air and interruption. About 4 years ago, KPFK, we were constantly off the air. So two things that we've done for prevention is we did infrared pictures of the entire transmitter, and it allowed us to look at what parts of the transmitter had to be replaced immediately and what we could do over a period of maybe 6 months or a year. And so we basically don't have interruptions from our transmitter anymore unless it's electricity. The city shutting down. I also have my chief engineer every Monday at the transmitter site to investigate if there's anything going on. So, you know, maybe a little bit more prevention at our transmitter sites would help.
Thank you. Okay, the next thing I believe is... Yes?
There was a question here about why I have made that, and I had to have one sentence real quick to explain why I asked that, and that is because I had heard a suggestion that the KU... Let me just frame it this way. If the affiliate program went away, the KU delivery system would still be required and be in place because it's actually used by the Pacifica five sister stations. And I know even that you may not understand why I'm asking that, but it has to do with the cost of the KU system and whether that's borne by affiliates or whether that's an expense charged back to affiliates or whether it's considered a charge for affiliates or whether there's time used for affiliates. When, in fact, if you understand how satellite works, once you've got a satellite signal, you can have as many downlinks as you want. It doesn't cost any extra dime to have more and more downlinks once you've established that satellite system. So what I'm saying is that it's not a direct cost to the affiliate program. It's used by the sister stations.
That's one
just
sentence
want to make
with
that
many
public
commas. Okay, but as a specialist, in many comma sentences, I have full sympathy. Is Ursula here?